Dear friends in Christ, I'm just getting over a run-in with the COVID sickness, and I agree with all of those who say it is no fun. One of the things that surprised me about it is that it took away my hunger. I'm not one of those who lost my sense of smell or taste. I just haven't been hungry. My brain, however, tells me it's important that I get some good nutrition into my body so that I can function, so that I can heal, even if it doesn't taste good to me, even if the thought of eating doesn't appeal to me, even if I'm not hungry, I realize I must make myself eat. One day, I will be glad I did. Now, I'm not the only one who has had to face this dilemma. Many, many older people have lost their appetites for food and other things and have had to force nutrition into themselves, even though it's hard. You could say they have had to develop a mindset for food, a mindset that demands of them, live hungry. God's children have learned that spiritually, this is a key attitude for following Jesus. While we've come to believe in Jesus and we love the way he saved us from our sins, we aren't always hungry as we should be for the spiritual food he gives us. Like a kid who would much rather fill up on cheese twists and curly fries than asparagus spears and grilled salmon, we need the Lord to train our soul's palate to live hungry for the food that leads to eternal life. Live hungry. Let's think about that. It's not strange that God enjoys talking about food in his word. After all, he created it for our enjoyment and to sustain our life on earth. It's interesting to hear him compare earthly food to a spiritual feast. Consider how Lady Wisdom spreads her banquet in the Proverbs reading today, getting everything ready for her guests. Then she sends out the invitation freely. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Isn't her invitation interesting? She invites the simple, that is, those who have no spiritual sense. Well, that's all of us, naturally. Without the Holy Spirit, people naturally oppose the things that come from the Spirit of God, and Satan loves that. He can prey on people's natural inclination to love wickedness, to be proud and independent, and to reject God's claim on them. They are the ones Lady Wisdom is inviting, eat my food, drink the wine I have mixed. We find much the same in today's letter from Paul the Apostle. He says to his friends in Ephesus, and so to all of us, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Alcohol has been the source of much grief and stupid behavior. Instead of filling yourself with those spirits, Paul rightly said, be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he comes to us in word and worship. It involves gathering together in worship as we are today. It involves using our mouths, our voices, our Bibles, and hymnals. Here we have a wonderful description of Christian worship at its best. It's not a one-man show up front, but the entire body of believers speaking and singing to one another with the psalms and Christian hymns and songs. It's the best kind of nourishment. Together with the preaching of God's word and faithful eating of the Lord's Supper, it satisfies the soul and strengthens the heart for another day of battle against temptation and for strength to serve God's people. Then comes the grandest invitation of all, the one straight from the mouth of our Savior Jesus. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Coming on the heels, as it does, of his miraculous feeding of the crowd of 5,000, there were plenty who had wheat bread on their minds. Some were asking scornfully, well, how can he give us his flesh to eat? He wasn't talking about the Lord's Supper either. He was calling skeptics everywhere to stop rejecting his claim as God's own Son from heaven, to repent of their sins, and to believe in his gracious promise that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Since when does anybody need to be asked twice to eat and drink? Well, number one, you have to be compelled to eat when you don't like the food that is being served by your kind mother. One day you will admit that she was right and that you were a snot. Number two, you have to be compelled to eat when you've been secretly stuffing junk food in your mouth after school, so you've lost your appetite. And three, you have to be compelled to eat when you've got a warped body image and rather than eating well, you're starving yourself. Why does anybody need to be cajoled into eating Jesus, the bread of life? Could it be that even we who have grown up with Jesus have lost our thirst and hunger for him? Is Satan that smart that he can get you to believe that maybe there is better food out there for your soul? There is a growing generation who has been robbed of the conviction that many of us were forced to consider from the time we were babies, by parents who lovingly baptized us without our consent, who dragged us to church against our will, and who made us sit at the supper table and listen while mom or dad read a Bible story or a meditation from his word. They implied to us that there was something more important than food, that Jesus was right when he said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Consider this comment a girl posted on an atheist website. She said, "I'm confused. I always believed science would be the cure-all for my problems, but I don't know if I can keep living without eternal life. I guess I'll just have to find a way myself to make it through this meaningless existence. I just wish I knew of someone who could show me the path to eternal life. If science can't provide the answers, though, then who or what can?" Sigh. Doesn't it seem like there is a higher purpose that gives our lives purpose? Well, science says there isn't, so I guess there isn't. Do you know of others who feel like this girl does? Do you hear the hunger deep down in her soul? She doesn't even realize it, but she's hungry for Jesus, the bread from heaven. She wants the bread that will lead her to live forever. Science could not fill the hunger pangs where the bread of life was absent. At one point in history, there was a band of people who trusted in someone they fervently believed would truly bring hope to this world. Their prophet Isaiah had prophesied in the ancient Jewish writings that this Messiah would come and restore all things to a paradise. He would come personally to redeem them from their sin and guilt. He would bring all things to a head under his kingdom of mercy and salvation. Lost human beings would have hope. They would have life eternal, freely given. God's people need his constant reminders to sit and eat the free banquet of God's Son. On this day, we are focusing on the first emphasis of a series called The God-Lived Life. And this one is living as Jesus' disciple. It implies being his willing students who gladly sit at his feet and delight in his word. In this busy, complicated world of ours, believers need to take time to be quiet, to listen like Mary, as Jesus gladly speaks to us, instructs us, and warms our hearts. We constantly need to be asking ourselves the question, will I let him do that? Will I turn off my computer and social media, hang up my phone, unplug that expensive entertainment system long enough to let the sweet voice of God permeate my soul and the fabric of my household? Let the answer be a resounding yes. As you entered the house of God today, you should have received two colored cards with suggestions for personal challenges you might take as your yes takes on meaning for your life. Note how these look. For the adults, I challenge myself to, number one, attend 4 Bible studies in the next 4 weeks, in person or online. We will be glad to share with you the next month's schedule. Number two, watch and share the weekly midweek video. 3, set aside 15 minutes to talk about the sermon each week as a family. We plan to offer discussion questions you can use each week just for that purpose. And number 4, memorize 1 Bible passage each week. Or spend 15 to 30 minutes a day in God's Word for a month. How is it that you, as an adult, can welcome Jesus, the bread of life, into your mind as you spend time with Him? There's a card also for children, whom Jesus loves and welcomes to His side. A child in the family could challenge themselves to have a nightly Bible reading with their parents, to pray before meals and before bedtime, and to memorize 1 Bible passage in the next 4 weeks. Again, there's a blank left for a special idea of your own. Whether or not you have this card before you, the concept is one to take with you. We challenge you to do something more than what you are doing today as a disciple of Jesus. In the months to come, you will hear more about a God-lived life, how it is lived, a life lived for others, how it is a life marked by hospitality, how it is a life lived shrewdly when it comes to money. But if today you can come away excited and challenged to grow in the banquet of God's Son, well, that's something to celebrate. Live a God-lived life. Live hungry. Amen.